WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CPS News Brief. Today, Senate Democrats killed two articles of impeachment and adjourned a trial against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. CBS's Scott McFarland tells us it's a blow to Republicans leading the charge.
There is a consistent argument from Republicans. This is the terrain they want to fight on in November. Immigration, not issues involving women's reproductive rights, not issues involving the future of democracy.
President Biden praised the Senate for wrapping it up so quickly. Biden also focused on steel tariffs in China today over its shipping practices.
Folks, instead of importing foreign products and exporting American jobs, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs.
And in Arizona,
the motion to overrule my ruling fails. Without objection, the House stands at recess.
Republicans blocked an effort to repeal an 1864 abortion law that bans all abortions except to save a mother's life. It's got no exceptions for rape or incest. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court is asking for responses to Planned Parenthood's lawsuit that seeks to recognize the constitutional right to abortion in Wisconsin. Planned Parenthood wants the court to take up a lawsuit by Sheboygan County's district attorney. The groups in the Planned Parenthood case have until a week from Friday to respond in writing. Labor leaders fear lawmakers will try again to loosen child labor laws in Wisconsin. Governor Evers recently vetoed a bill to lower the bar for 14- and 15-year-olds, but it's another story in other states.
We are seeing a growing movement from different unscrupulous employers that want to put kids back in the workplace and not have the kind of oversight that is needed.
Stephanie Bloomingdale is president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire City Attorney Stephen Nick is calling on the Wisconsin Department of Health Services to investigate and potentially prosecute HSHS and its CEO following the abrupt hospital closures. In a letter to the department, Nick accused HSHS of not giving enough notice for the closures, forcing emergency action from local, state, and federal leaders. The move comes about a month following the hospital closures as state leaders argue over the $15 million in emergency funding that was approved to address the losses. With no school in session, Eau Claire law enforcement officers took to the schools to train for emergency scenarios, including active shooter threats. The purpose of the training is to help law enforcement officers respond quickly and effectively to emergencies that involve the schools and identify areas where law enforcement departments could improve their response. Officials hope that by practicing simulated situations, officers will be better prepared for the realities of a worst-case scenario situation. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers avoid the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Padres, bottom of the eighth, still no score. Milwaukee's Bryce Terang, the runner at second base. Blake Perkins comes up to bat. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ground ball left side, it's through base hit. Here comes Terang.
Wow, how about that? Blake Perkins, they bring the lefty in. That's his strong side, the right side.
The Brewers win 1-0 to avoid a sweep. Bryce Wilson, the starter, held San Diego scoreless, followed by the bullpen.
Our defense is, you know, it starts with Willie and William behind the plate. And you think about Bowers and Hoskins at first. And we got the best second baseman in baseball. And, you know, our third baseman have come through. Dunn had a good game defensively today. And Ortiz is learning the position, and he's spectacular there. And our outfield defense hasn't been great as we thought it would be, but defense is the best friend of the pitching staff. It all kind of works together, and then you give your offense a chance to work.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight and a low in the low 40s. A few showers tomorrow morning, then clearing and breezy for the afternoon. High upper 50s. Partly cloudy and colder and breezy Friday and Saturday. Highs only upper 40s, but to the upper 50s with sunshine for Sunday. Right now it's 48.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I'm really excited right now because I've wanted to have this guy on for a while. He is a legendary stand-up comedian. You know him as Tom Dreesen. Tom, welcome to Nightline.
Pete, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you how I became a legend. All my critics are dead.
Did you have anything to do with that? Don't say anything, Tom.
No, I refuse to answer on the grounds of my incriminating me. I'll plead the fifth on that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Join me Thursday morning at 9 a.m. We'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar to answer your questions. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It is Wednesday night, educated educators talking education. Our friends from education and from Educators Amplified, teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie are in the house, and Johnny Lupinacci swinging in there at the last second there, dude. We are so happy to see everybody.
Oh, yeah, man.
How's everybody going? How's everybody doing, I should say, not going?
Well, why don't you talk about your situation?
Well, anybody
first,
who's watching
and then
on
we'll...
the Facebook, the... yeah, I was going to say, anybody watching, anybody watching on the Facebook, the Twitter, or the YouTube channel, it's like, whoa, what happened to Tim's studio? I am in the basement in southeastern Ohio under a tornado warning right now, and so
watch out, and
there's my wife down there with me,
and we are just making.
Safe shows for Mom Michelle.
Joanna said, wait, that's Mom Michelle.
Mom Michelle
from all the rallies. Mom Michelle, I remember Mom Michelle. Here she's going to put her face there.
Oh, I love it. Awesome.
But yeah, we're just making sure we're being safe and making sure that everything. What,
Joe? It's really dark out.
Oh, yeah. So
it shouldn't be dark yet.
It shouldn't look like that behind us.
Oh,
as Michelle
no.
was saying, the darkness.
Oh, look at you. No matter
okay,
what,
but,
you show up.
Hey, you know what? Busted Pencils Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's for real, man. And we
Rude
do it. We show
home.
Up, you know.
Yeah.
The ability to do the show always takes precedence over even a tornado. I mean, now, if you see us ducking or a little bit, I'll try to bring the computer with me. It'll be an on location during the tornado show. It can maybe, you know, who knows, it'll win a Wisconsin Broadcasters Award for, you know, the most action oriented talk show ever in Wisconsin history. Oh, I'm just rambling on. Johnny Lupinacci, teacher Hallie, teacher Joanna. Well, actually though, welcome. Teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie, how are you two doing?
I can check in first. Roll call. I'm doing
okay.
Okay,
Joanna.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Things are good. It's a midweek, right, in education land. And so we're through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday's a couple days away. But actually, things are good.
Nice. Teacher Hallie?
Yeah, I would agree. Things are going good. You know, what's interesting. I was just talking with some teachers that were saying, you know, they're into April. They've got a full month of May, then June. So it's a little bit of the anticipation, but also spring break has already happened. So they're like, there's anticipation to things being over, but also kids being like, we're done. And it's only April. So, you know, it's normal teacher, student, you know, it's part of the craft as an educator, but that delicate dance between kids being like, all right, I'm tuckered. And like, we've got more to do, you know? Mm. So just talking to teachers.
Well, we had last night. Yeah. Think about it. So last night, you know, it is April and Joanna, you were talking about this. We had a new teacher, Mrs. K, on last night from Colorado, just talking about, you know, she's a fourth grade teacher and the continuing drama of state testing in the state of Colorado and her fourth graders, and just looking at them and watching them doing the 3 hours of testing and then looking at the essays that they're writing and then realizing she's never going to be allowed to read them. The parents are never going to be allowed to read them. They're going to be shipped off into, you know, where standardized tests go to get graded. And then she'll, you know, the students will be ranked and she'll get the scores next year when the students have already moved on to the next grade. Just the fun happiness of state testing season. And realizing, though, too, coming into the show tonight, looking at Wisconsin, report coming out of Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, 60% of teachers in Wisconsin indicating that within 6 years or less, they're planning on leaving the profession. And Johnny and I are sitting there wondering about, okay, talking to Mrs. K last night, knowing what is happening, is this part of the teacher exodus? And how does testing season really kind of come at you at that moment in time? That if you were thinking about, you know, maybe I can hang in there, maybe I can do it, but after 2 weeks of testing, how much do those 2 weeks solidify in some teachers' minds that going, that's it, I'm done, I can't do this anymore? Just a thought throwing out there, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, if you want to bite on that thought.
Well, hearing about Miss K, thinking about the report that came out in Wisconsin brings me back to 2017 when a group that Hallie and I were involved in did our own research. And we had three significant findings regarding the professional status of teachers. One was the members were really concerned about the erosion of professional status. Two, conditions and climate. And three, retention. And I'm looking at the report right now with a quote that was like, I thought this would be my forever district. And I'm sadly coming to the realization that it's not. I have no future here. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. My wonderful coworkers are no longer a strong enough reason to stay. And it was 9 out of every 10 millennials reporting that they had serious thoughts of leaving due to unclear processes, a lack of voice in decision making, frequent changes to pay structures, and a high focus on standardization and a lack of autonomy in the classroom. So this was back in 2017, and we didn't do that report until so the problem precedes the report that we actually created. And all I can say is there really has been no serious effort to structurally changing what is happening to teachers here in Wisconsin.
No, there has not. I'll add to that. I'll be honest. Fine. Maybe they found this 6-year statistic and they feel like it's impactful, but I will say I roll at it because I'm like, there are teachers. Like, it's just so focused on a short-term issue, and then all the solutions that will come from it is really deprofessionalizing the profession of teaching. So it turns into, how do we make it easier for people to be teachers? Or how do we just get people in the door? But no one talks about how do we keep high-quality professionals and the fact that we do have high-quality professionals.
And that is what I meant, Hallie, by the lack of serious effort, right, at a structural reform. It's like this constant reaction and then really low-grade solution. What made me laugh was, again, the thing about frequent pay structures. Because how many years did you have and how many different pay structures did you experience?
I was in the classroom for 12 years, and I think I had 7 different pay structures.
Right. And all of those were with, like, right? You were told
it's gonna be better. That, like, it's gonna be great. And look at this huge increase, and it'll be worth it. And oh yeah, they were the next best in sliced bread 7 times.
It was a shell game. And so how can a professional believe in that? Yes. That's not stable. That's not steady.
Mm-hmm. Well, Teacher Hallie, you're hinting to something I want to come back to. However, first, we've got Jack from Merrimack on the line. I always like to hear from Jack. Jack, what's happening, our friend?
First of all, to give you a little background on me, in case people don't know, I spent I retired from teaching after 40 years and spent the time teaching at grade levels from sixth grade up through roughly sophomore university level, and taught in public, private, and parochial schools. So I do have a little bit of a background to have an idea of what I'm talking about. And the first thing I'm going to say is that Act 10 really is a discouraging situation for prospective teachers. My son, who did not graduate that long ago from one of the state universities with a degree and a certification in social studies teaching, moved out of the state of Wisconsin into Minnesota. And right now, because, of course, he's not fully certified in Minnesota, he's doing subbing jobs. But he was attracted from that when I mentioned something that appears on occasionally has appeared on Native Roots Radio as an ad, which was a $10,000 signing bonus for new teachers from the St. Paul, I believe it was St. Paul School District in Minnesota. And these guys are serious about trying to recruit teachers. And Wisconsin, that is just the opposite of the case. We're doing about everything possible to discourage it.
Yeah, Jack, I mean, you think about that and the way that comes across, particularly right over the border in one state, and to see the difference. I wonder, you know, to Act 10, and we talk about that in Wisconsin, we probably need to really kind of reacquaint listeners, you know, to saying, like, what happened in Act 10 was truly the biggest attack on public school employees in the country at the time when that happened. Governor Scott Walker took away the collective bargaining rights, deprofessionalized teachers, and set in motion this reality of going, you say, you know what, it's a teacher exodus. And what is it that fuels that exodus? Well, one of the things that happened in for you guys in Wisconsin at that time really was this whole, wow, we have no ability now to advocate, to talk about what we need. In fact, if we even do that, it's against the law to talk about the realities. And in fact, collective bargaining was outlawed, correct, Teacher Joanna?
Well, yes, having a collective bargaining agreement, right, is against
Act 10.
Is not allowed through Act 10. And but you know what is sad about it too? So like, it's terrible, but districts were quick to pounce. Like, some of the first things they did were remove.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a choice. I don't know that had to be done. And so when you dismantle the pay structure immediately, when you cut off retirement benefits, when you force people to do supervision without pay, when you force sub without pay, I mean,
what do you expect?
Hey, what do you expect? Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. More Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanne.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety.
What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Far too long. Yeah, for far too long, teachers have been dealing with this nonsense. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators amplified in the house tonight, too. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Big report in the state of Wisconsin coming out from the Department of Public Instruction. Hey, guess what? The status of teachers in Wisconsin post-Act 10 is worse than ever. It's horrible. And boy, you know, talk about the ability to kind of, you know, bring some light to that. And again, Jack from Merrimack, love his call to talk about, you know, helping illustrate too the difference between crossing a border into one state. We've been spending a lot of time, Johnny, talking about the, you know, extolling the virtues of Michigan, and they're on the other side there of Wisconsin. So right now, people in Wisconsin, boy, I don't want to act, you know, but there are models on both sides of you on how to actually restore and bring teaching back into the fold. And maybe too, by listening to Busted Pencils, we can get that motivation to continue going. As people hear these stories, we hear from Jack, you know, and again, Mrs. K was from Colorado, but the reality of the attack on teaching is something to say. It's an attack on democracy. And let's put that forward and realize here too, you know, these are not teachers whining about, you know, I don't have my chalk. This is actually about the fact that they are being deprofessionalized, shut down, turned away, and actively being told actually what you think about how to work, not even what you think, what you know about good teaching, what you know about children, what you know about the community. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's out the door. We're not going to deal with that. Man, I'm ranting tonight. Sorry about
that. It's okay, Tim. You got good stuff to say. And it's wonderful to have Educators Amplified again with us. I mean, every Wednesday, it's my favorite day of the week. One, because it's halfway through the week, but also because Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are with us. And we had Teacher Mrs. K from Colorado last night, who, you know, talked about the ups and downs of teaching and exactly like amplifies what Teacher Hallie was just sharing in this DPI report and all of this. It is not, it's never been easy to be a great teacher. It's not easy work. And Tim, I'll even push back against this a little bit because I know what everybody means when they say the professionalization of teaching, but I take a slightly unpopular opinion about this. Teaching has always been blue collar work. The unions have always had a really close relationship. So early on, the UAW giving space to Margaret Haley and the whole Chicago crew to say, together we are laborers. We can't fight for our rights as laborers without you teaching our children and doing the hard labor that you all do in classrooms. And so, I mean, teaching is a blue collar profession. And part of the elitism that exists through education, through schooling, is this idea that it's white collar, but it's always been a little bit of a hoodwink because teachers don't get white collar pay. They don't have white collar status in our community. It is hard work. Teachers, we appreciate you, but we also know that it has gotten like harder and harder, not to teach, but just to be able to teach. Remember last night we were talking about, please just let me teach. And teacher Joanna exactly. the week before was like, you know, I'm around people who are like, just let us teach. Like, let us do the craft that we're so good at, that we are passionate about. And also, hey, it's not too much to ask. Take care of us while we're doing it. And that's the thing that's missing. We are not, by and large, as state governments or as, you know, our text, we got a text that said another big reason teachers are leaving is school boards running the schools. And this is Tim who gave us a text. And I don't know if, Tim, you're a teacher or not, but this is probably a sentiment that many of us feel. But I'm going to push back against this a little bit, too. We need to really be active in our school boards, because school boards can make a difference. And so vocal efforts on the school boards, more teachers. When you talked about what's happening in Michigan too, Tim, I don't want to say the grass is always greener on the other side of the lake. Mm. You know, I'm part of a teacher exodus from Michigan. There was an era where it got unbearable, right? I mean, my pay went down way significantly. The charterization of Detroit Public Schools, the loss of unions there was really tough. So these things can swing. And one of the things we heard about in Michigan that's happening related to school boards and related to legislation, and Tim, I think that's where you're going with, can Educators Amplified and Busted Pencils help amplify the voice of defenders of public education and those teachers who are like, let me teach, and say, legislators, hey, I think we need more teachers in legislation, because Mitch, our guest a couple nights ago, said the tide is turning in Michigan because teachers are part of the legislation. Teachers have gotten very active, not only in school boards, but at the state level. And that gives this opportunity for the government that is in power there to really to seize the moment. And he said, there's almost a shorthand, an understanding that what we're doing is we're making it possible for good teaching to be done in the schools, which means children have better teachers that are taken care of, that are rested and enjoying and practicing their craft in a way that I think teacher Joanna would say maybe is more regulated than how most of us experience classrooms. It's pretty brutal just to be able to teach.
I gotta say, your story is uplifting, but because years ago, Hallie and I would be like, and they want us to run for legislator? We're going to do the school. We're going to do it all. And we're going to run for office? Like, come on. I get what you're saying. But, right, Hallie, we've been through that. Where we're like, how much of this are we expected to take on? Now, I get that you're saying, like, it's a contribution. But we have been contributing, you know, contributing and advocating to legislators, to school boards, to administration, steady. That's why Educators Amplified exists. And we've been asking these questions steady for 12 years. Will the erosion of our professional status be acknowledged? Will we get serious about reversing the trend? Will trust ever be a predominant energy in our workplace? Will professionals be compelled to stay in teaching over a course of a career? Will student learning and opportunity be impacted if high quality professionals continue to depart? So we're out here, we're gathered, we're saying that, but we get reports that kind of just crystallize what we've been saying, and we still don't have serious effort.
Action. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that DEI report is 13 years post Act 10. And I'm still really? You came up with salary and work-life balance is the problem? Because to me, even work-life balance is offensive. Like, oh, poor ladies can't figure out how to do work and home. No, that's not what this is about. You know what I mean?
Well, and I want to back up, because teacher Joanna, that's a really important point for me to clarify. Referencing to, like, Margaret Haley was a teacher who, this is so unique, that, like, she started the teachers unions. And in order to do that, had to step away from teaching, and teachers had to support her. We can't just keep stacking this up on teachers. You know, what I'm thinking is, like, those reports, I'm wondering, did teachers make those reports? Are teachers in a position to say, this is what the report says, let's change things? And I think that's what Mitch was saying is part of what's special in Michigan right now, is that there are people who have been supported in their districts and in their community, or who are also part of this teacher exodus. Because it's tough when you're a teacher to say, I can't afford, or my body cannot hold up staying in the classroom as is. It's a really conflicted decision to make. And when you make it, some of these teachers, they're supported to go into positions to say, enough is enough. Let's make the change. And I think that's what I hope that's what we're saying is like, we got it.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden and Donald Trump are in a tight race for Wisconsin's key electoral votes. 51% of likely Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette University Law School poll they plan to vote for Trump in November, 49% for Biden. As well within the poll's margin of error, the race changes very little with third-party candidates. Governor Evers says Republican lawmakers made a big mistake by not answering his call for a special meeting of the Joint Finance Committee Tuesday. Evers wanted them to release $125 million to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin's drinking water.
The people in the state of Wisconsin that are suffering are sick and tired of this.
Republicans fault Evers for vetoing the PFAS bill they sent him this spring. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
A Cornell police officer has filed a federal lawsuit against the former police chief, alleging he sexually assaulted her at work. According to the lawsuit, Officer Heather Hutchins accused former chief Brian Hurt of touching her inappropriately, talking about sexually explicit conduct in a squad car, and physically assaulting her in March of 2021, just weeks after Hutchins began the job. In his response to the complaint, Hurt alleged that Hutchins initiated the conversation and kiss. Hurt retired shortly after the alleged incident. Some area kids running a lemonade stand and a local business teamed up to donate over $10,000 for cancer research this week. According to a WQOW report, the Lemonade Kids set up a stand outside Shields in Eau Claire, raising money for the Guarding Against Cancer golf outing. When some of the Shields employees bonded with the kids, they decided to donate the $10,000. All of the money that was raised will go towards the Carbone Cancer Research and Treatment Center in Madison. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. SNL cast member Heidi Gardner laughed so hard and broke character so blatantly during an SNL sketch that she says it caused her anxiety. The skit from last weekend involved Gardner as a talk show host with a studio audience behind her as she interviewed Kenan Thompson, who played an AI expert. During the interview, Ryan Gosling sat behind her dressed as Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. Kenan Thompson pointed this out to the host, and they had him move, only to replace him with Mikey Day, who played Butthead, and looked hilarious. When Thompson's character called attention to Butthead, Gardner turned to tell him to move as well and saw him for the first time and lost it. She literally could not contain herself the rest of the skit. Gardner said it was Day's exposed gums and teeth that made her lose control. Vulture.com says the show had kicked the idea around for 5 years before actually using it, which is crazy. It's one of the funniest things I've seen on Saturday Night Live in years. I recommend Googling immediately. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight and a low in the low 40s. A few showers tomorrow morning, then clearing and breezy for the afternoon. High upper 50s. Partly cloudy and colder and breezy Friday and Saturday. Highs only upper 40s, but to the upper 50s with sunshine for Sunday. Right now it's 48.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Letting someone else live their life in a way that you may not agree with, guess what? That's American. That's what we get to do here. We don't get to place our religious beliefs in a position of governmental endorsement so that we can exclude others from our educational systems, from our boardrooms. That ain't American. It isn't the Wisconsin that I know either.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Next time on the show, our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach, author, columnist, and Renaissance man, discusses what's new on the lake and whatever else is on his mind.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, hold my hand. Help is on the way. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Educators Amplified in the house on Wednesday. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, looking at the DPI report about the state of teaching in Wisconsin. It ain't good. And as we came out before, Teacher Hallie was gone. Well, really? Like, why would we be surprised, you know, 12 years later after Act 10 to find out that, guess what? Things haven't gotten any better. There's no pay raises, you name it. And so in one way, it's just kind of like going, you know, from our standpoint as educators, what was the purpose? And maybe this is the question. So how do we then turn that report instead of us, which we should rightfully criticize, what took you so long? How do we turn that report into an actionable movement? And I think Teacher Joanna really hit a part on that when Johnny and I were talking about saying we want educators to get active, but then realizing too, Joanna here is saying, maybe the first thing that needs to happen in Wisconsin is to create space and time for some of you teachers to be able to do that kind of work. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just think there's a really impossible expectation set, which is now well documented about just, and Johnny talks about it really well, of what happens, you know, to actually operate the school. And now, you know, the expectation is go out and campaign to save the schools. And so many of us do that. Again, like, it is mind-blowing to me how advocacy is part of my job, whereas my husband has a job and, you know, and he's a union member, but, you know, his job does not require advocacy on the regular. We're like, my kids really believe that, like, teaching and union work is like, to, you know, it's, they've just seen it as part of the job. I would pick them up from school and bring them to mommy's classroom so mommy could have meetings about how people could be protected and get paid. Like, that's just what they've seen, you know, where I'd pack two lunches that day, one for them at school and one for them to come back to school for me for the meetings that I always felt were so, I had always said, I wished there was time for that kind of stuff within the job. I think it's really, again, it's not okay with how much has to go in outside of the job for people to be able to do the job well and to provide that kind of rich information that can really help with decision making. But that's really not part of it. So, yeah, I'm like, okay, keep piling on the plate. And this report, again, it focused on saying something about, like, right, it's six, is it 6 years, Hallie, that people don't make it beyond? And I think that is something to really pay attention to, because I know something that we've studied and looked at is the disproportionate focus on attraction and literally no focus on retention. And from the start, I was saying, you better figure out how you're going to, you know, you got people here. Let's figure out how to hang on to them. But we were literally told you need to sacrifice. You all need to sacrifice. You're not going to get raises. You need to sacrifice so we can go attract other people. Or veteran people need to not expect to get a cost of living raise or any, you know, because we need to give that money to the people on the front end. And I mean, so that set up this whole, like, pitting people against each other. And now Hallie's reporting again, saying, like, and it's, and that doesn't work because they dedicated that part of the money to the younger folks. And then it wasn't the money.
Right.
That's not why they left.
Right. Cause I'm going to offer that. That is exactly what I was going to say. Like, why aren't we looking at like why people leave at the sixth year? Or like, why can't we just honestly say it's because honestly, like my career has been post Act 10 and beyond. I was never treated as a professional, or the entire system is built on what teachers are doing wrong. How can we professionally develop them? It's never questioning, what are you seeing? It's never asking what, you know, like, what do you think children need? It's just like, here's what needs to be done. I will assign it to you. If you ask a question or say like, are like, not even combative, but just kind of like clarifying, like, how does this make sense? You're seen as combative. You know, like, it's just nothing about it is collaborative. Nothing about it is saying you are an expert. It has always been do this job. And I'll say that I had special education responsibilities. And for a very long time, I was doing the job of two people. Like, and I'm not alone, but I can give my experience. But I was doing the job of two people. And I believed that something was wrong with me, because I couldn't do it all, because I was trying to do special education responsibilities and my everyday classroom responsibilities. And I held on to that for years. And when it clicked, where I was like, oh, it's impossible for anybody to do what I'm being asked to do, and then communicated that with my bosses, my administrators, I was looked at like, well, too bad. That's the job. Maybe this isn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You wouldn't believe how many people I counseled that were told it wasn't a good fit. So there's some real internal issues too. Yes. So that's the other thing where the report doesn't sit well with me, because again, we skip over, you know, how I'll even say like, we skip over things when we talk about students, we skip over things when we talk about teachers. The state legislator isn't setting the policies in these individual districts. You know, there is room for collaboration, and there could be non-binding working agreements. There could be meet and confer agreements. And by and large, that's not happening. And so, right, what it doesn't really get at is what are the conditions and how do we make those better? And I think it's been hard for to admit. Go ahead.
You know what it made me think, though, that we just said that what we're doing here, what we do every Wednesday with you guys in this talk and the conversation we're having, this is the conversation that never makes the report. You know what? Yeah. It never makes the report the way. And so I'm glad we're able to have it here. And I'm glad people out there are listening right now and finally getting to hear this. And so, yeah, when you're out there and you're reading this report about how bad it is for teachers in Wisconsin, recognize, too, that you're only getting a sneak, or not even a look, because when you come in and listen to other teachers, whether, you know, teachers in your area. So if you're up in Hayward and you're listening up there, talk to the teachers up there to ask them the reality of, okay, in addition to all these things they're saying in the report, tell us what else there is out there, because that's the conversation. As you want to say, if we're going to address retention, and teacher Joanna, you pointed this out, and in fact, it's been very clear from a research standpoint, is that there would be no teacher shortage if we just increased retention of 40% of the people leaving. Increasing retention of 40% of the people leaving would mean there would be no teacher shortage. There would be no teacher exodus. So this isn't actually a problem of not people available. This is people leaving, and then the people who are qualified not willing to come back. Well, why would they? Why would they want to come back after that? You know, so, I mean, here it is. So this is what we do. It's Busted Pencils Fully Led Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, talking about the woeful state of teaching in Wisconsin. Lupinacci, man, you got a look on your face.
Well, I mean, I do love this conversation that we're having. And I think it's so great, one, that we can have it with Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie, because it's one we just need to be having with teachers. I mean, that's the most important piece that keeps coming back to me, is that all of this, and Mitch brought it up the other day, you know, as part of a legislative, you know, committee in Michigan, like the most important work he's talking about is because teachers are involved in the conversation.
Right. Even in that DPI report, the teacher that they interviewed, who is no longer teaching, who's a good friend of ours, so shout out Tessa, but she does say, and she I miss working with students.
Yeah. She wishes she was a teacher.
Yes. And how, like, so it isn't just like, well, then go apply. There's millions of open positions. She's like, what prevents me is the job isn't teaching. The job isn't actually working with students. It's carrying out a to-do list from a manager, you know? And so even that to me, it strikes me of like, you have people who want to teach, but who are like, I've done it already and I don't want it and I can't do it that way. Like, that's so.
Well, and it is troubling. And I, you know, I am, believe it or not, forever optimistic, because I am like, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, these are things that we can treat people well. You don't need a collective bargaining agreement for that. You know, we can have great collaborative relationships and come to mutual understandings without a legal agreement. But correct, you have to be willing and you have to put in the effort.
Yep.
Wait, so you're saying civility doesn't need to be legislated as
we say Act 10, but I always love that point Joanna makes, because we say like since Act 10 and it has been since Act 10, but it didn't say
without that
treat teachers like professionals.
So caller Tom. Caller Tom from Jackson. What's happening?
I just want to say two things. One is that now that you've gone to a full week, it's even a better show than it was when it was a one day a week, and you're actually able to get into more important issues more deeply. I like that. The other thing too is that you know, people who live in the state, especially in the suburbs and stuff, maybe not like in Milwaukee and other places like that, but they'll see these huge schools, beautiful schools, and then they'll say, oh, they'll hear that the school wants, you know, another $120 million, and the local people think, wow, you know, they need another big, beautiful building. And I'm wondering, that's not really so much the teachers, it's up to the administrators, I'm guessing, that want to do all this stuff and, you know, have these Taj Mahals, I guess. But I'm wondering how it can be stressed that really it needs to be more deep inside the school at the teacher level, that really is where the money needs to go, especially since Act 10.
Tom, thank you so much, man. And thanks for the kudos. We really appreciate it. Glad 5 days a week makes a difference. Yeah, exactly. All right, Teacher Hallie, respond. You know,
I was just going to say, thank you, Tom. Like, I love that perspective. I saw he was from Jackson. We live very close to each other. So I identify with what he's hearing from the community of, right, these beautiful schools that externally look like that's a nice school, so things are good. I just appreciate him acknowledging that it's an internal problem that's going on. And so getting to how do we address these internal problems? Just shout out to Tom. Thank you. Well said.
It made me think about how for all this time we've been told that one-time costs were better than long-term investments in people. Like that would be, we were told like that was the rationale for why, you know, we couldn't do long-time investment in employees, but we could do one-time costs on infrastructure or products.
Yes.
Well, and you know what? In fact, that is one of those things that comes across. Like, we have money to build something right now. We don't have long-term money to invest. And Johnny has been talking about this too. We kind of think about this. We seem to not understand that investment is the reality if we want anything to be better, Johnny.
I mean, yeah, there's so many places where we need to start. And then I'm just reminded, like, can we just keep this simple? I mean, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Haley keep saying, like, come on, can we just say, like, bottom line, and it should be the, you know, a unified voice. We need it to be better for teachers in classrooms. We need to be able to teach. If we are able to be listened to about what is good teaching and let us do it, and it isn't one size fits all, and isn't in successful new curriculums, it's in letting great teachers teach, like Tessa in the article who said, I want to be in classrooms, but I can't. That's telling us that there are many barriers in the way of just being able to teach. Now, I know we got L.A. Tom on the line, but we're going to go to break. And when we get back from break, L.A. Tom, we got you, my man. And thanks for joining us, listeners. We got Educators Amplified and Busted Pencils. Tim from his tornado basement when we get back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation, out-of-control immigration, insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education Talk, educated educators, talking education Wednesday night, Educators Amplified in the house, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, numbers 855-752-4842. We do, though, have L.A. Tom on the line, and we said we were going to get right to L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. Get registered to vote and make sure that you're registered to vote. So you can make a difference in your community. Second, you know, from an outsider's standpoint looking at it, it just seems to me like education has become so similar to the corporate world, especially when they took the guardrails down through Act 10. You know, yes, you can do an agreement or whatever, you know, without maybe a strong union. But the thing is, the union not being strong, I think, is what's really, really made the people and the teachers in Wisconsin suffer. And what I mean by that is that if you have less people having democracy in the workplace, you're basically going to end up to a race to the bottom, number one. And number two, they just want people to be cogs in the wheel. They don't want teachers to be special. They don't want teachers to stand out. They want teachers that are just going to be yes men and yes women. They don't want people that are creative. And if you are a leader and you are a leader as a teacher, watch out. You're going to get slammed down because of the fact that if you have an opinion, they don't want to hear it. In the past, I think that there was a little bit of protection with the union when it was strong. I just don't think the unions are strong anymore. Maybe they're getting better, but the thing is, through Act 10, they broke down that union, and when they did that, it made it so teachers did not have an ability of a place to go to if they were people that were creative and out-of-the-box thinking.
L.A. Tom, right on the money. There it is. L.A. Tom, always love when you're calling. I can see Teacher Joanna's got that grin of, yeah, he knows what he's saying.
Oh, yeah. And then it's just depressing. And it really is. And he's right. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. This is a huge part of it. And yet, again, do I sound like the contrarian? Because I'm like, and yet... I've only had experience in places that do have strong unions. I've been in places that have strong unions. I've worked in places that have pro public education school boards, and I still have seen an exodus of teachers and conditions severely diminish.
Yep.
And so there's a lot to this, and yet not, because like Johnny said, it's kind of simple though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I love that, Teacher Joanna, because in many ways we do this to each other. We do this to ourselves. And like, it is a, you know, a reckoning moment to say, hold on, enough. We got to do this differently. Like, we can't keep, like, teachers are great and they are like, they'll rise to the occasion and they will get the job done, but often at the expense of their own health. And then over time, we know when we're not able to do great teaching because of all of those things. And so it gets harder and harder and harder. And we rise to the occasion, rise to the occasion, rise to the occasion until it's just not possible. And that's a big part of a teacher exodus, even in, you know, strong union shops, strong districts that support public education. It's still nearly impossible to do great teaching. That's structural. That's something our school leaders, and that's something we have to, you know, see change.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's really hard to constantly be told, wait for the next thing, because that was it too. Mm. Like now, like no one wants to take kind of direct responsibility, right? If you go talk to maybe your principal, they'll say, well, my hands are tied. It's the district. You go to the district, they might say, well, my hands are tied. It's the board. You go to the board and the board says, well, our hands are tied. It's the state legislator. And so it's like there's this group of people who have been targeted, teachers, and they have been following those chains of commands and those channels. And really, they kind of get told. They moved on. What would you say, Hallie?
No, I would echo everything that you're saying, that it's really this layered issue because of the fact of what we were talking about weeks ago, about how there's option A, there's option B, and there's option C. Like we can keep pointing at like the big bad wolves, but like what we're trying to preserve wasn't great either. Or like everyone's kind of become almost like lethargic or apathetic to just like, well, this is the way it works. And I just am like, let's transform. Let's do better. Let's like revive this profession so that we're excited. We're uplifted. We're, you know, and that only trickles down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can build a better way, but we've got to go within. And someone, you know, when I talked about external and someone else said internal, that is it. This is internal, both figuratively and literally.
So if you're not watching on the video stream and you're listening through Civic Media app, or you're on the radio, you know, tuned in, listening, you know, we get these wonderful texts and also these little things that scroll by. And you know what? I couldn't agree more with Heather Hansen. Thanks for your props to Teacher Joanna. But yeah, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, the house. Educators Amplified.
Thank you, Heather.
Yeah, well,
Heather's our sister. She's still up in it.
That's
so
right.
So shout out to all of you.
Appreciate you, Heather, too, for doing the work. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for doing the work that you do, Heather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, while all four of us are here in the house, we've been teasing this, but April 30th, listeners, we've told you mark your calendar, because Tim and Johnny will be at the Minocqua Tap House in Madison for live show Tuesday, April 30th. Also, live from Madison on Monday. So we'll be in studio. So we'll be in your hood, which means you know we're connecting with Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie while we're in town. But lots of exciting things happening on the 29th and 30th, you know, close to you all. So we hope to see you. Come on out April 30th. But lots of fun stuff.
That is so exciting. And I hope all the listeners come out to that Minocqua Tap Room. Sounds like super fun. A live broadcast.
Oh, yeah. A live broadcast. Teacher Joanna, you know that, and Teacher Hallie, this is bringing back that old Educators Amplified days when we were doing live broadcasts from a bar in Milwaukee.
Right.
Now we're doing a live broadcast from a tap room in Madison, Minocqua Brewing. Really excited about that. Really excited about the partnership that we're developing with Minocqua.
93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, a legislator from Oshkosh is featured in our Women Win Wisconsin Spotlight, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.